Happy Monday morning to you. I'm Andy Bates. Welcome back to Faith and Family. It's kicking off a new week here on Faith and Family with a new topic. Every week we try to cover a topic that's pertinent to families and especially staying strong in the one true faith. So this week we're asking the question, how do you make a teachable moment out of that embarrassing moment when your child says something embarrassing like, Mommy, that person looks different than us. Or, Daddy, why does that person sound funny when they talk? How do you make a teachable moment out of that? And we're talking about cultural diversity. How to make teachable moments out of helping children learn about different cultures. So we're going to kick off the day this week. We're going to talk about a culture that you may not necessarily think of as a culture right away. And that would be deaf culture. So we have some great guests joining us in the studio today. And we'll get to our guests here in just a moment. Introduce them all. We'd like to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting our program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, just go to our website, KFUOAM.org, and go to the sponsor section. Click on Concordia University Wisconsin's logo there. That'll take you to their homepage, and you can learn all about Concordia University Wisconsin. So, We brought in the experts today. We brought in some of our local experts, families who live it every day, and pastors who live and serve it every day. So we have joining us in the studio today. We have Pastor Richard Moody joining us from Holy Cross Deaf Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Welcome, Pastor Moody.
Hi.
And joining us is the Haas family, and is it Pastor Mark? Pastor
yes.
Mark Haas?
Well, Chaplain Mark.
Chaplain Mark. Welcome, Chaplain Mark. And Gina Haas, welcome.
Hi.
And John is here today as well. And John is our deaf member of the family. And Mom's here signing with him and kind of voice for him as well today. So welcome, John.
Yes, welcome.
So let's learn a little bit about your backgrounds. And Pastor Moody, you've been in deaf ministry for quite some time and serving Holy Cross for quite a while. Tell us a little bit about your family and how you became a part of the deaf community as a hearing person.
Well, I came to the seminary in 75, having never met or even seen, I guess, a deaf person. I graduated from the University of Nebraska in engineering. And then came to the seminary, and that the first deaf person I met was a deaf man from Norway who couldn't become a pastor in Norway because he was deaf. They wouldn't allow that, so he moved to the United States, went to Gallaudet University, graduated in English, then came to the seminary, and it was his last year there with his interpreter, who's a pastor now in Washington, D.C., Ron Friedrich. And I just was fascinated with the language and started going to sign language class and graduated in 79 and have been at Holy Cross ever since.
So you've been serving a congregation. And tell us a little bit about Holy Cross. What is Holy Cross?
Well, Holy Cross is one of just a few now full-time deaf ministries that are left in the Missouri Synod. When I graduated in 79, there were, I believe it was 55 full-time deaf ministries, and 46 had full-time pastors. And now the full-time pastors, you can count on your hands and toes, so we're under 20. And the ministries, many of them are still there, but they are very part-time, and they are just being served by people that can, sometimes they're just the lay people. It's 98% of deaf people don't go to church or have any part of a church. So, it was 92% when I graduated. So in, 33 years, mm-hmm. 34 years, you all of a sudden have, fewer and fewer deaf people going to church all the time.
And you're getting to some of the important statistics that I'd like to talk about more in just a little bit. It's just devastating to realize those numbers. Well, let's meet our family that's with us today, too. Chaplain Haas, Mark Haas, welcome to the show today. Tell us a little bit about your family. And Gina, feel free to chime in here as well. Feel free, if he gets the story wrong, feel free to...
Definitely chime in if I don't get it right. We've been married now for 18 years. I've been a pastor for 17 years, and we entered into deaf culture quite as a surprise. We were married for 9 years, not having any children, and John came to us through adoption, through extended family in kind of a surprising way. He's had many medical adventures in his young life. He's 9 years old now. When he came into our lives, he was very sick. They did not think he would live, but he has surprised them all repeatedly. He is our little miracle. But in one of the episodes of medical intervention in his life, he had to be treated with heavy doses of antibiotics that were toxic to his hearing. And from that, as well as other issues with his language, his ability to speak, the muscle coordination necessary, he's used sign to express himself. We started out, I was a pastor of a rural dual parish in western Missouri, and so we started by looking at the library. Wonderful videos called Signing Times that gave us an entree into sign language. We picked up books and so forth that we tried to work through all of the different ways of sign language. And because of John's consistent times in the hospital, I became inspired to enter into chaplaincy. And as things turned out, I got a position as a CPE resident chaplain with Lutheran Senior Services here in St. Louis. And then leaving the parish, came here. And in our preparations to come here, we found that, yes, there are actual Lutheran deaf congregations. And so we began to investigate over the internet. We found their stream, their video stream of the services. And our first service was the Ash Wednesday service, which is so truly Lutheran and yet so completely different in its expression that we were just floored and brought to tears even watching it over the internet. Mm-hmm. We decided, okay, this is where we're going to have our church home. This is where we're going to be spiritually fed.
On that day, we did wonder whether we should warn Pastor Moody if we were coming or not. But we decided not to warn him, just to let him be surprised. But we knew for months before we came here that we were coming to Holy Cross just because of that video and another one. And then when we came, our first experience sitting in Holy Cross, we were just blown away. Mark, John, and I all sat there, eyes open wide, hands pretty still because we didn't sign anywhere near fast enough to keep up, and just amazed. We went home just amazed and shocked. It was something we had never seen before.
And you made that transition here to St. Louis into Holy Cross. And how did the family of Christ at Holy Cross welcome you?
They were amazing. They loved John to start with. I mean, everybody loves John.
Well, it's hard not to.
Right. Yes, there's four waters. He's counting the waters for you. Everybody, you know, but they really welcomed us. Mark and I decided that we would come to Holy Cross for John, and we assumed that we would find another church for ourselves, that we would go on Wednesday or something like that, because we're not deaf culture. This is not part of who we have ever been. And within just weeks of being at Holy Cross, we felt like we were in family. We did not feel like we needed to go find another church. Actually, we would sit in the pew and go, this is so home. I've never had a church feel like home like this one before. The family at Holy Cross is just very, I keep wanting to sign to you. They're just very, they're huggy. I mean, they want to hold on to you.
It's so true. I've had the pleasure of visiting Holy Cross before, and they're very welcoming. And would you say that is a part of deaf culture in general, Pastor?
Well, I think it is. Deaf people are very together as a culture. It's they're a real strong community for the ones that still belong to the deaf. I mean, the ones that still consider them part of the deaf culture, which, you know, leads you into what exactly that culture is. But yeah, I think Holy Cross really is what deaf people desire it to be, a real family, a close, tying everybody in, getting rid of the isolation that they feel in their everyday life, which is, I think, what opens it up to be that kind of a church. They're very isolated in their families, in their jobs, in everything they do. And then when they come together as a community, it you really can see the love and the desire to be there, and then we want to nurture the faith and the strong love of God that really joins them together as a church too.
Absolutely. Well, to our listeners, you've met our guest today, and we're just touching right now on the brink of what is deaf culture, what is deaf community. If you would like to join the conversation, if you have a question for our guest today, you can do that in the St. Louis area. You can call us at 314-821-0850. Outside of the St. Louis area, you can call us at 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. Now, Pastor, you mentioned you just touched briefly on what is deaf culture. What makes deaf culture what it is? Why is... being deaf in a hearing world, you might say, what makes deaf culture unique?
Well, I think you probably hit the nail on the head. It is their language that really brings them together as a culture. When deaf people are, like I said, in their work and in everything they do, In one sense, their language isolates them from the rest of the world. And when they get together and in a community, the schools that are for the deaf, all of those kind of things tie them together. But it is their need to be able to communicate with people just like them that causes the culture to be. You know, I think every culture, it's what's unique in that culture that joins them together as a culture. And for deaf people, it is their language.
And I think that's true for most cultures. The language is really at the heart of what a culture is. That's really what ties most cultures together quite often. And let's talk a little bit about the language of the deaf. What is the language of the deaf community and deaf culture?
Well, when you look at what happened when Jesus met the deaf man, if you use that as an example, he couldn't speak clearly because his particular language was acquired through his eyes, not his ears. Everybody on earth thinks and operates with a structure in their mind that was structured by the way God made people with their ears, and that ends up structuring the mind. When deaf people don't have the use of the ears, they then structure their mind, or their mind is then structured by their eyes, which is a very different structure that makes our language a foreign language to them. Mm-hmm. All hearing languages, you know, blind people, they don't have use of their eyes, and yet they speak English or they speak French or whatever country they're in. That structures their mind perfectly for the language around them. And for deaf people, their structure ends up being done by their eyes. So their language then is one that does not need the ears. And when Jesus had this deaf person that the people brought to him, he gestured to him. If you read that in Luke, he communicated with him prior to giving him a new brain structure, which people overlook when they look at the miracle of what Jesus did, similar to like at Pentecost when God gave them all new language, and but restructured his mind so not only could he hear the language now, but he could speak clearly that language, having never heard it before, which is why he wasn't speaking clearly at the beginning of that.
Here in North America, the language of the deaf is American Sign Language, correct?
That's right. Right.
And quite often referred to as ASL. Is that a global language? Is it a universal language that you would, you know, is it just a manual form of English, basically?
Well, yes and no. There are parts of English that, in the English language that deaf people do not have in their language. Mm-hmm. And so if you just take English and you just sign it straight off, you're going to be signing incorrect information to deaf people. They don't have a passive voice. Well, English doesn't have a perfect voice. They don't have a perfect voice either in their language. You know, there are parts of our language that if you just put it in the order that you're getting our language and you just manually put that out to deaf people, they're going to be getting a different set of understanding from that than what we intended.
Mm-hmm.
So and it isn't universal. You had another question about universal. It is not universal, not even in the United States. Certainly it isn't global around the world. Everybody has a sign language, but it's not the American Sign Language that they have.
So even with even going to other countries that speak English, for example, if I were to go to Australia, the signs are going to be different there.
Yes, because you have different cultural eccentricities. In America, you have particular signs for fruits, vegetables. There are no kangaroos in America except in the zoo. So you have to develop for Americans what would be a common Australian sign. And, you know, when it comes to matters of the faith, you know, things like the Apostles' Creed, we rattle it off so quickly because it's ingrained in our memory. But if you look at the way that's expressed, if you try to put it directly into sign language, you have Pontius Pilate dying and rising again.
And if you bring new signers to it, we butcher it too. So just trying to learn how to sign.
Sure.
You know, once things are changed into ASL, which Pastor Rooney does a beautiful job of, once those are changed into there, for us to take our English minds and figure out how to get our hands to do while your mind is still trying to rattle off something that you know, and then your hands are all, it gets confusing. It really does.
From my friends who are interpreters, as I understand it, and from my experience with ASL, it's signed more concept for concept than word for word.
Right.
Right.
So as you said, if you're signing English, if you're signing sign for sign, the Apostles' Creed, then you end up with Pontius Pilate dying as opposed to Jesus. Well, that theologically can be a problem. And as I understand it, there are even different signs among various confessions or church bodies, you know, to sign baptism as a Lutheran or to sign baptism as a Baptist is a different sign. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Actually, for Lutherans, all of the signs are acceptable. Just like for Lutherans, we can immerse baptize, we can sprinkle, we can do infant baptism, adult, you know, for Lutherans, you know, how it's done and how the water is applied. And I do pick that language very carefully, how the water is applied, because that's what baptism is, which is why we can sprinkle or however the water is applied to the person instead with immersion, the person's applied to the water. I mean, I'm not going to go into all that, but the signs are, it ends up being a different sign. And sometimes as in the discussions that's gone on for ever since we've had Lutherans and Baptists, we have those same discussions. But we allow people to use any of the signs, just as long as they understand in Lutheran a Lutheran understanding that the water is applied to the person.
How in other languages, for example, in German, you can have one really long word that is a huge concept, and it's a really long word. Is that true in American Sign Language as well? Can you have one sign that that really encompasses a whole concept or an idea? In German, you could have this really long word that is basically an entire thought. How about in American Sign Language?
Yeah, I think that it's all conceptual, and yeah, with one sign you can say a lot, but also with some, especially in religious words, but there are lots of words where they're huge words, and there are not signs for those huge words. You need three or four signs often to get that message across, and it's very important when you mentioned interpreters. You know, as we're talking about this, one of the things that continues to lead our I think our interpreters and also people that work with the deaf kind of further and further astray as to how to sign some of these concepts that deaf people like the passive voice they don't have, how to sign that when our educational system here in the United States is moving away from really educating people that are coming through the system on what is the English passive or are the various different parts of the English language. And so here we have interpreters that have graduated that now have gone on to college that they hear the passive voice as a past tense, and so they're signing it like that. So you have been saved by grace becomes sometime in the past you saved somebody. By grace or grace, named grace or named faith. And these deaf people are, you know, we don't realize that, you know, in one sense, you know, God warns us not to curse a deaf person. In some sense, the English language is doing exactly that. When we sign it as it is printed there and the interpreters do not hear that and really learn how to turn that around to what the meaning is, that God's grace gave faith, saves a person, unless they learn how to do that and don't try to sign right up with the person that's speaking so they can just sign English with the signs and whatever they hear. You know, it is really, really important that any interpreters out there really pay attention to the real differences from our language and for the language of the deaf.
It's really important to really understand not only the language, but the culture, it seems, to understand the language is to understand the culture, essentially, is what I'm hearing.
Well, since their language causes them to be a community, to be a part of that community is to use their language, not to expect them we want deaf people to develop all the lip reading skills and all the skills necessary to function in this world. But to expect them to lip read us when 25% of our language, and look at that number. Everybody thinks all English is on the lips. German sounds like less of it's on the lips, but it's easier to lip read German than English. And so 75% of the young people that are in our churches that are going through confirmation or whatever, and if they are deaf and trying to lip read, they're guessing at 75% of what we're trying to teach them. And, you know, I don't think that is acceptable. So the use of their language in their culture is absolutely imperative.
Just imagine as a hearing person trying to make it through school understanding only 25% of what you were studying. We're talking with our friends from Holy Cross Deaf Lutheran Church here in St. Louis about deaf culture today. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so. Join us at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email us family@kfuo.org. And we'll continue the conversation right after this break.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
When our Pro-Life Weekly television program called Facing Life Head On got its first Emmy from the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, some thought it was a fluke. The second Emmy made more people sit up and take notice. I wonder what the third will do. Yes, Facing Life Head On was just honored with its third Emmy Award. The program to receive this recent honor highlighted a Cincinnati group called Healthy Visions that helps teens abstain from sex, drugs, and alcohol. The program dramatically shows one mentor can have a profound positive impact on thousands of teens. If you'd like to watch this program online, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. The glory for the award goes to God. It's a joy and honor for me to do his work.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service has been there for me since I began the American leg of my journey as a refugee. Their staff helped me and my family to a local church in the community where I resettled, a church whose hospitality could not have been more important in my transition to a welcoming American society. Learn more about Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and journeys like mine, LIRS.org.
You used to change my diapers.
Take care of me 24 hours a day.
Send me to school.
Mom.
Dad, I need you.
There's all these things I'm feeling that I've never felt before.
I need to know about having a boyfriend.
I need you to set limits.
I need you to tell me where you stand.
Help me make the right choices.
Mom, Dad, talk with me. You always say I can talk to you about anything.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Who would deny that the purpose for which Jesus came to earth was to bring peace? Well, guess what? The Gospel of Luke appears to deny just that. To resolve the seeming contradiction in God's Word, our next broadcast will deal with the subject of peace on earth and how there are two different views.
Weekdays at 2 p.m. on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The sister of an American detained in North Korea for the past 9 months says he's been transferred from a labor camp to a hospital after losing more than 50 pounds. Kenneth Bay, a 45-year-old tour operator and Christian missionary, was arrested last November and accused of subversive activities against the government. He was sentenced in May to 15 years hard labor, and in letters to his family in the Seattle area has described working in the fields, weeding and planting beans and potatoes. His sister, Terry Chung, says Bay suffers from diabetes, an enlarged heart, liver problems, and back pain.
His body was just giving out after, you know, months of working in the fields and toiling in his with his medical problems.
She says a deputy ambassador from Sweden met with Bay at the hospital Friday. Bay's family held a prayer vigil Saturday night at a Seattle church to publicize his case. Chung says about 180 people attended. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is great to be with you today and with our friends here in the studio as we talk about deaf culture and helping children understand different cultures, including the deaf community. And before we left for the break, we were talking about language differences and things like that, and some of the differences are between hearing culture and deaf culture, especially when it comes to language. And just briefly, we were talking about words that there isn't really a specific sign for, especially when it comes to the scriptures. Mark, what were some of those concepts that we were thinking about that we had mentioned earlier that happened in the scriptures? That how do you communicate those? There are some concepts that just don't have they don't translate real well.
Well, the key word for our Lutheran theology is justification. Justification by grace through faith. And when you put it strictly from English into, you know, direct sign, it comes off as judgment, not as God's free gift of grace. So you have to put in that concept in signs of God's free grace as a gift that delivers to us faith in Christ and hope in Him for forgiveness, life, and salvation. We had the ordination and installation of our new pastor yesterday, and the office of the holy ministry.
That was interesting how you had to change that.
We had to change that from office, because the sign for office means a room in a building, and into what was it again that you translated that, interpreted?
God's position that His authority established to carry on His work.
That's a lot longer.
A few extra words. Well, it's also, you know, that office and then of the holy ministry. So sure. Some of the things, that whole phrase was what was replaced. Yeah.
So really, it comes back to not signing word for word, but rather concept for concept, and making that jump. If you're going from English to ASL, it's understanding the concepts that are being communicated rather than word for word. We've talked a lot about language. And the differences between language, and that certainly is the basis of culture. What about how does technology play a role in deaf culture today, with the good and the bad? How does technology play a role? I know during the break we were talking a little bit about that technology. What are some of the good things that that technology does for deaf culture?
It works as a key communication. We have video phones that connect people, where people are able to sign to each other and communicate with each other across vast distances.
Having the video phone in our house is the first time that John was able to call his grandma himself. He signed to an interpreter. The interpreter spoke to grandma. Grandma spoke to the interpreter. Interpreter signed to John. But it was the first time he got to call his grandma by himself in his whole life. Most kids do that way before 9.
Sure.
So the technology has some good aspects. All depends on how you use it, though.
Right.
The advances in technology since I graduated. I mean, just shortly before I went to the seminary, they started into the first TTYs. Nobody uses a teletype a device anymore. Well, a few people do when they are older people that have lost the ability to hear. They will still use the relay services and things like that, which is that's a very good service. Then they added captioning and a clear back. I don't remember what year it was. Here at the Senate office building, we needed to do a video conference with some deaf people at the seminary in Fort Wayne, and it took 6 phone lines, I think, or something like that, and the signs were still jerky, and they still were. It was kind of difficult. I mean, a talking head's one thing with a moving mouth, but when you add all the signs and everything, it requires a lot of speed. Well, all the new technology now, everything is so, everything operates so fast. All these little hand devices. I mean, now they can pick up a little hand device and it functions fast enough inside of that the signs are smooth and they can talk to their friends just like anybody else can talk on the phone. I mean, it's just marvelous.
Yeah, I noticed just online looking for apps the other day, there's a deaf Bible app that has the entire Bible in videos, signed videos, which technology has to be, I'm sure, advantageous in many ways. What are some of the technologies? You know, we've talked about captioning and technology now to communicate across long distances. What are some of the technologies that raise questions?
Well, the very thing that joins the deaf people together, which is their language, that brings them out of what isolates them in the world, which is our language. They have always come together as a community. But now, in some regard, some of the negative things is they come together in their homes and don't need to come together in a community. You also have other parts of the technology, which are wonderful when it helps the deaf person with a cochlear implant or some of the other things they can do. But there again, it separates them out of their culture, because all of a sudden the ones that, and there's conflicts among the deaf, get a cochlear, don't get a cochlear. I mean, all those questions keep coming up. And the ones that decide to get a cochlear, and it works for them, and it kind of separates them and takes them out of the deaf culture. Some of them continue to sign and stay in the culture, but you've got these things that are really pulling at this culture and making them and separating them, and even separating them from the church. They even though we put everything out on the internet and everything is in sign, and many of them don't need the church, and they won't look at that. So even though the technology is there, it is something that many deaf people just do not participate in.
You mentioned earlier some statistics. Those statistics, I was looking at some research as well. Based on Gallaudet Research Institute and their data collected from 97 to 2003, roughly 13% of the U.S. population are either deaf or hard of hearing. What is the difference between deaf and hard of hearing? What qualifies someone as, I know we've talked about deaf culture, but what qualifies, we said language is what makes them part of deaf culture. And I guess that's where we would use deaf with a capital D, right? When we're talking about culture, but what qualifies someone as deaf or hard of hearing?
Well, it isn't the definition the United States uses, because that population is huge. But it includes people that have become very, very hard of hearing or deaf as they become older and older. And they're not part of really the deaf community, which would really be the big D, which are mostly people that use the language of the deaf, are connected to the deaf culture as a group. And there are some people that spend their whole life similar to what's happened to an older person later in life, and they never join themselves. They never cross that bridge to understand themselves as deaf, and so they remain separate from the deaf community. But the signing deaf people are it's a lot smaller group in the United States than what is referenced in those studies.
And speaking of smaller groups, of those, you mentioned earlier, was about 98% of the of deaf and hard of hearing that do not have a church home, that are we might consider unchurched.
Well, 98% now, and it continues to grow. It is a huge, when you look at the overall culture and have 98% of any group of people in the United States not. The gospel does not reach them. And it goes back to what I said about what something that is not in their language. And I think it's very, very important that people realize that if you sign the way the language comes across in English, and you make all of our language just the way it's printed, but you use it as if it's an active voice, you are confusing law and gospel, which for Lutherans is anathema. And you also actually make them individual people that are standing there that don't need the church, because they're doing the action. It's all law anyway. Mm-hmm. Many of the gospel statements in the scriptures appear to us, come to us in the passive voice. So we have made them look at this, and all of a sudden they're seeing these signs come at them, and they're doing the work anyway. So really, why bother getting up on Sunday morning? If I have to do it anyway, why bother getting up and then I've got to support a church. And I mean, really, why bother? And so, you know, we are, our language is becoming the thing that is cursing deaf people. And God said, don't do that. So it's real important that people look at that verse and understand, use their language to them as it is intended in the active voice, and get our passive voice into the active voice before you try to sign it to them. And it's really crucial, because we are separating them from the church. And I'm not trying to heap guilt upon us, but it is real important that we understand the differences from our language to theirs, and we use their language correctly mm-hmm. in the active voice, and then God's word will be God's word, and it will be the power that will make them not think they have to do this, so they stay away from the church.
And understanding is really all what we're talking about today, in helping families understand cultural differences. Gina and Mark, you started off as hearing people without any really, you know, limited experience and exposure to the deaf culture and community, and have been adopted, absorbed into that community in a sense. And so now when you're out in public and communicating as a family in sign, and you encounter the curious child who says that or makes that has that observance and sees your family communicating in sign and thinks, wow, they're different than us, and says something, or you see the shushes from parents. What are your thoughts? What invitation do you give to those families?
Well, I would invite them just to go ahead and ask. I mean, encourage your child to ask in a polite way. You definitely don't want to, you know, do something rude, but it's not rude to be curious, and it's not rude to ask a question. And John has, I mean, all through the years, John has been the object of questions of little kids. Mommy, why does he have a wheelchair? Mommy, what are those things in his ears? Because John wears hearing aids. And I have seen parents take every reaction from grab their child by the shirt and drag them down the aisle as fast as they can. That doesn't help. The poor child is looking backwards trying to figure out what we did that he's getting drug off. And uh-huh. It'd be so much nicer just ask. Because really, it's a time that you can learn, that your child can learn. And we learn compassion for people who have different needs and different abilities even by asking and knowing what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm. You know, the deaf in public back in the 40s and 50s, before a lot of, well, even 60s, before there was a lot of sign language that people were aware of, deaf people didn't sign a lot in public. They signed very small to their deaf friends they were walking with, because the world really felt they were doing, I mean, they looked stupid, is how the words the hearing people or the deaf people felt from the hearing world. And that really, that is a real positive, that the world today is so accepting, and there are so many interpreters, and there's so much available to bring deaf people mm-hmm. into the regular activity of the world, even though they their language is different, but to incorporate their language in so many things. I mean, it's, you even see it on alerts on TV now, that there's the interpreter right there. I mean, it is really, really wonderful that our world has really changed around in its attitude to not so much be critical of this group that is signing, but almost become curious and want to be part of that.
Sure.
Part of what's going on. It's really nice.
Gone are the days of the term, the old term that was used to describe the deaf community. Oh. Gone are the days of the term deaf and dumb, which, you know, at that time meant deaf and mute. Well, just because a person can't hear doesn't mean that they don't have a voice.
But see, the hearing world, what did they do with that word dumb? They criticized the deaf people that were signing in public as dumb. And it didn't mean that at all, but what did the mm-hmm. hearing world do with that? And so it's really come a long way. And that word is long since gone.
Sure.
for good, I hope.
And it's appropriate to use the term deaf. And it's appropriate to use the term hard of hearing, correct?
Well,
it depends on who you ask.
Hearing impaired is probably a word that, you know, deaf people do not want to be understood as impaired, and they're not.
Sure. But hard of hearing, though, is
hard of hearing, and you've got the different, you've got the different nuances of that too, depending on whether the person can hear on the phone or not hear on the phone. And you have different nuances of the uses of those terms among the deaf, especially how they understand somebody and how they would sign. Mm-hmm. What's the sign that's appropriate for that person, depending on how much hearing they actually have?
Well, we had to discuss at church that John is physically probably really only hard of hearing, but that because of his apraxia and our choice that sign is, you know, to bring him to sign, he is deaf. And that was a big deal. I mean, that was a long discussion one afternoon about whether John was deaf or John was hard of hearing and why did he not talk at all and all of this stuff. The deaf people are curious just like the hearing people are. So that's one of those other things that I was going to say. I mean, if you run into a deaf family and you ask questions about them, if one of them can speak, don't be afraid because they might ask questions about you too.
Sure, sure. And that's an interesting, you bring up the nuances of the deaf culture. Any other nuances or any other characteristics of deaf culture that you, especially making that transition from, you know, hearing culture into deaf culture, anything else that you've experienced in the Haas family?
One of the big differences for me, and with a name like Haas, I'm very German, and we have a tendency to be more standoffish, more physically, visually still in our communication.
Stoic.
Yeah, that would be a good term too. Yes. And because of that, and the difference in communicating in sign language, it's not just the hands that are moving in sign language to communicate well. It's hands, it's facial expression, it's body motion. And in order to communicate the depth of a feeling, the intensity or the passion involved, you have to get everything of you out there. Mm-hmm. And for someone who was trained at the seminary to stand erect in the pulpit and project with my voice and to, you know, keep my face still as I proclaim these wonderful truths.
Do we have a pulpit at Holy Cross?
No, not really.
In that sense, it's one of the few places where it kind of hinders the gospel, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I hit the pulpit. We did have one at the old church. We actually have it. It's just in a closet. We're not going.
It's a barrier.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, also when you talk about some of the other nuances and things, yesterday in the ordination service, some of the hearing pastors that were there, even in the morning service, one hearing pastor, a brother of the pastor who was being ordained in the afternoon, was just amazed at the pauses in the lessons, just the eye contact and the emotion and everything that comes out on your whole person is involved in this language. And it really is something. The sermon during the ordination was done by a pastor from Wisconsin, and just amazing, the feeling and the closeness that's expressed in that language to this new pastor. It's just wonderful to see it done that well.
And wonderful to see a pastor who is now proclaiming the word in the language of his culture and in his community. We see it happening in our international missions all around the world. Mm-hmm. What a joy to see it happening here in cultures and subcultures that happen right here in our very own backyard.
Yeah, so. I would like to say one other thing about you mentioned the deaf video Bible, and it is a wonderful resource for people to sit there and use it in their private study or. But you know, what the church doesn't have is some of the pastors that were at the ordination yesterday saw how the English language, how you could change it into and actually put the symbols and things necessary for deaf people to understand that the little word in or to goes over to this direction, to the mm-hmm. right or to the left or up to God or something like that. And for deaf people, without that in incorporated into the English language, they don't know where to sign the you mm-hmm. or if it's plural or singular. And we are working on a way to codify the scriptures into with all of the things necessary to sign it in the active voice, put all of the passives into the active, and actually put the symbols necessary there so they know if the you is up to God or even if the you is Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. All of that is being put into a deaf signing reader's version, which is important because we're not going to sit with our little iPhone and say, oh, here's our scripture for today, and hold the iPhone up to the congregation or stick somebody else up on the wall to do the lessons in church. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's real important that our church works on a scripture, an actual scriptures in an English version that is signable for the deaf. And so we're working on that at Holy Cross, another project that we're working on.
One of many.
It sounds like you have plenty of projects to keep you busy there. And a very lively congregation, a very active congregation. You mentioned your services there that are webcast as well. The services are both ASL and English, is that correct?
Yeah, everything is, not everything is spoken by the person signing, but there is somebody that will reverse for that person. The new pastor is deaf himself, and he likes to sign without his voice. He's recently deaf, though, about artillery in the Marines. Over all those years, then, his hearing is finally gone, and he decided to become a pastor for the deaf and to learn sign. And he's worked, he does a very, very good job, but he feels he does it better by completely divorcing his hearing mind and just thinking of the signs. And mm-hmm. We reverse for him. And the lessons are done on Sunday without voice, as is the creed. And there's a separate voice person for both of those things. Most everything else is signed and voiced at the same time.
So in your setting, in your services, both a hearing person and a deaf person would feel very welcome and,
yes.
And understand. Mm-hmm.
That's been the transition ability for Gina and I. That's why we feel so at home. We're learning sign. We're just grasping the things, but we can still be a part of the service, receive all of that truth without having to figure it out and only get 25%.
Well, we're very thankful for your time today and for the work that you all are involved in at Holy Cross, and especially for helping other families understand more about deaf culture and deaf community today, and not just deaf culture itself, but what it means to be a deaf Lutheran. That we're very grateful for your time here today to talk with us about that. So thank you to Mark and Gina Haas and John for being here today. And thank you, Pastor Moody, for all of you being here today. It's been great having you on Faith and Family. And we continue to we'll pray for blessings for you at Holy Cross and all the deaf friends there as you serve them faithfully. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Stick around. Coming up next, Moments of Assurance. And later on this week, we'll continue our discussion of on Faith and Family about cultural diversity. Tomorrow, we talk with an American family in India, a family that packed up their bags and moved across the world to learn about a new culture, all while Dad works a new job. So stick around. Moments of Assurance right here on Faith and on Worldwide KFUO.